Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the International Break Under Pressure podcast. My name's Dan Kennett, and with me, it's just going to be a cosy chat with Mr. Simon Brundish.
Inside. I feel like it's a tradition for us to do this. This is the time of year when it's just me and you.
Just chatting wham about vaguely analytical content. Yes,
I reckon we've done the most two-man pods of anybody on UP, and it's nearly always in March.
Easily. Yeah, either that or Christmas time. Yes. But we are here. We're going to be talking about injuries. We're going to be talking about schedule. We're going to talk about player workloads. And we're going to be talking about that running and those fixtures coming in. And also the form of the three main contenders coming in. But we're going to start, as we always do, Si, with injuries, right? And I was researching this pod, I did see some good news, right? In that we are no longer top of the injury table in the Premier League.
Which is great. We were only top for 3 weeks.
Were we? Wow.
Yeah, we have been mid-table for nearly the whole season, and then it kind of hit around Luton.
Well, Luton are the number one now. Luton have got 13 injuries.
Jesus. Which matches our peak.
Yes, and we've got 9 now currently, according to them, with the ones from this international window, and there's a whole glut of clubs on 8 and 9 injuries and stuff like that. But yeah, sadly, Arsenal are there is a team actually with 0 injuries. Si, do you know who that is?
No idea.
0 reported injuries, anyway.
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth have 6. No, it's Fulham.
Oh, really?
So Fulham don't have a single injury. Arsenal have got 5 and Man City have got 6. So the interesting one's going to be the John Stones and the Kyle Walker ones, because obviously they went off very early in both the England matches, didn't they? So it'd be interesting to see if they miraculously recover.
Miraculously.
With horse placenta, was it? Or
yeah, no chance. I'd be amazed if they're not fit.
Right. I think Stones looked worse, to be honest. I think Walker, you know, it's just a precaution thing, but Stones looked like, I don't know. They're saying adductor anyway, so can you fake an adductor?
Yeah, of course you can. Oh, my groin's a bit sore.
I love it. Anyway.
It feels a bit stiff. Yeah, I'm coming off.
Yeah, okay.
in a pointless game. Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about his place in the international team, does he? While others flog themselves. Thankfully, I was really happy to see Gareth Southgate flog Foden.
Nice.
Interestingly, City don't have as many attacking options as you'd think, with Grealish out as well. So Foden getting flogged to death playing every minute of both games, and like in a really high press, full on energy, and in training, he would have been balls out in training as well, which is great. But he's a kid. Doku got a hole of the second game. That's kind of exciting. Akanji got actually injured, so they picked up a couple of issues, I think.
What just out of interest to say, what result do you favour in the Arsenal big one, the Arsenal Man City game or Man City Arsenal game on the weekend?
Don't really care. We just have to win all our games, and it ideally Arsenal need to not win against City. That's it. So mathematically, a draw is obviously the best result.
Yeah, I think a draw is the best result because it takes two points off both teams. I think the worst result, like you just hinted at, is an Arsenal win.
Yes, yeah, so the worst result for it is an Arsenal win, and City to decimate Arsenal would be quite amusing.
Yes, for the narrative.
Yeah. And also, I was looking through. No, we can talk about that after context.
So, yeah, Arsenal gone and got five injuries. Saka was the one. I think Saka was the reason why Foden played so much, wasn't he? He withdrew. Do you reckon he's actually injured?
No.
Love it. Love it. So Saka and Martinelli both lining up on Sunday then, yeah?
That's exactly my expectation. I read something over this week. One of the high-profile pundit dickheads said he's the most kicked player in the league. I think it was Martin Keown or... It was an old 80s, 90s footballer anyway.
So Mohamed Salah exists.
Yeah, Mohamed Salah doesn't only exist. he has three times the number of touches per foul of Saka.
Yep.
3.1 times, actually.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it is crazy. People just take Salah for granted in so many ways, different ways. Crazy. So, right, let's talk about those Liverpool injuries, Si. Andy Robertson with Scotland again.
Bit of a worry there, isn't it? So, at one point, do you remember that it was, mate, 4 years ago that 38% of our injuries, our games missed, came from injuries during international breaks?
Yeah.
Which is just brutal. And this season, we're going to get close if Robbo has any kind of significant injury.
Yeah, wasn't it 11 weeks he missed with the dislocation?
Something like that. It was 21 games.
Wow, 21 games. Yeah, and what did you see when you saw the replay of the...
Foot stuck in the ground, ankle aversion from contact, so you, like forcing your leg in against the angle of your foot, and the foot couldn't escape because it was in studs, so there's going to be a significant strain there.
The Andy Robertson injury is kind of, there was Darwin Nunes as well before the international break. Hopefully we're thinking that was just a precaution, say, right? Because he's been kind of on and off injured for about 2 months, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He originally got injured where he missed the game coming off against Brentford. And then he missed three in a row, came back on it as a sub. And he's only played 90 once, and that 90 happened to be 132 in the Mickey Mouse Cup final.
And he's going to smash his career max, isn't he, for minutes played in a season?
Yeah.
Has he already done it? Has he already broken his career max?
He's currently 110% of his career average.
Yeah. Already.
We've still got 12 games to go, 13 games to go.
So they're the ones we know about. We're hoping Nunes is going to be okay for the Brighton game. Are there any more injuries that we've definitely heard of? I don't think there are, but we've had some pretty heavy workloads for some of our players, haven't we?
Yes, just workloads. I don't think we've got anything else just popped up.
What was the outcome of the Salah situation? Has there been a sensible... he hasn't played for Egypt, is that right?
Yeah, he didn't travel to Egypt. He just stayed home and recovered like a statesman of the country should do.
So finally, a sensible solution was reached there with Salah.
That is my feeling, and my hope is that he's going to be Mo for the rest of the season there.
Yeah, that's what he needs. But some of those big workloads that we've mentioned.
Yeah, we've got big workloads. So we've got, obviously, you don't worry so much about goalkeepers, but Kev has just played for Ireland again, and he is 165% of his career max right now. Mm-hmm. He's already played that right now, obviously. And the thing is, with that age reserve goalkeepers, they don't play. Because when we were kids, we'd have reserve football and they would play midweek in the reserves and then not play at weekends.
Yeah.
And now they just don't play. So it's different. So yeah, I'm never quite sure about the impact on a goalkeeper, though there is definite significant stresses on them. And physiological stresses for sure. And the amount of kicking that he'll have to do will be next level
compared
to what he's used to. But I'm not particularly worried about him.
What have you got down for the centre backs? Virgil, Kwanzaa, Konate.
So Kwanzaa, we don't know about because he is obviously setting a career record. The most minutes that reserve team players get is about 2,000. And he currently has 2,100.
Did he play any age group minutes for England? So when
he just played the full game for the 21s.
Yeah.
Which is nice for him. I'd rather he played the earlier game, but he played this one. The full game did all right. And he is going to, obviously, he's going to have to play quite a lot for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And he is, in all likelihood, he is going to smash his career peak by 50 or 60% career workload, which is probably not a red flag for now, but you really don't want to be building more than 30% season on season. And he's a big lad who's grown fairly recently as well.
Yeah.
So going forward, it'd be something to keep an eye on more than anything else. Gomez is currently at 150% of his career average right now and 90% of his career max. And Ibu's 153% of his career average.
So Ibu was an injury doubt. He didn't play in the Man United match immediately before the international break. So what's happened to him since?
He went off to France anyway. We kept Darwin back. If you remember, we had Darwin, Diaz, Gakpo and Ibu that were all like doubts, injury yes. doubts going to internationals, and only Darwin stayed away. Ibu didn't play the first game, but he played all of the second game yesterday. So I'm not so worried about the Tuesday games. We've got five full days because we play Sunday. So that's a fairly decent recovery period. It's, as I've talked about last week and in pods, the international thing, the training mostly, it's a mixture of the training that worries me and unnecessary potential impact that we just have Robbo. That's the nobbling famous lads, which is often the thing you get against playing against bad teams. So Ibu seems to have navigated his way through that without too much, but we are on his, let me just see, I think it's his third injury of the season, which is, he averages 4.7 injuries a season, but he's only missed six games, to be fair.
Yeah. So Virg played for Holland against Germany.
Both games, Virg. Yeah. Both games.
But Virg is Virg, so I guess
not worried about Virg.
So I guess the main one is left back, because Gomez played pretty much both full games for England, and Kostas Tsimikas somehow managed to wind up playing extra time for Greece yesterday in the Euro playoff, which they subsequently lost on pens. So bad luck, Simi. But yeah, he winds up playing 120 minutes in an international break in one match. Sai, that's crazy.
He played 224 minutes in 6 days.
And Gomez probably played, 150?
Not quite. He played 113.
Wow. Okay.
He only had 28 at the end of the first game.
Yeah. So it's looking like Gomez at left back again. And then Bradley played for Northern Ireland a couple of times, didn't he? Scored the winner against Scotland.
He did get the final 4 minutes off. Wow. But Bradley got 182 minutes in his two games. Scored the winning banger against Scotland, which would be great for him. And he played higher up the pitch as well.
Mm.
But full intensity. Yeah. And so you've got to be a little bit concerned about him in the sudden massive workload that he has.
Well, especially because Trent is not fit still. We're not expecting Trent back for another couple of weeks.
I would expect another couple of weeks.
And then Gomez is the cover on both sides. So we're back to square one there, really, aren't we? Anyway, so it looks at...
Yeah, mostly. But Bradley's had 1,000, basically 1,200 minutes in 9 weeks. It's actually 7 weeks because he had 2 weeks off after his family circumstance. So 1,200 minutes in 7 weeks for a kid that's never played before Bajatic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things you've got to be a little bit worried about.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah.
Midfielders,
they're at different stages of their biological development. One has finished growing and he is a fully grown man, and the other one was not.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't be saying Bradley. So,
midfielders, McAllister played literally, has just finished playing for Argentina. Great in South America,
yeah,
not great. So that's a concern, right?
They played in California.
Oh, they played in California, right? Okay. That's a concern because he's only just finished playing.
He played 60 and he's between games, between the two games, we've got 4.5 days.
Okay.
That's as decent a turnaround as you get for internationals. He's not flying back from Chile and playing 48 hours after, his previous game commenced.
Yeah, no, that one where he was playing at altitude, wasn't he? And then he came back two days later. But he was, I think it was before the return fixture against Brighton, actually.
It was Wolves.
Wolves, and then the other big midfielders, Zobo.
Unbelievable, Zobo. He played in his two games, scoring 3 goals. He played 192 minutes, every single minute.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's captain, isn't he, of Hungary?
577 minutes of international football this season.
Wow. Probably a goal or assist every 60 minutes, I would have thought, when you break it down, if you look at his numbers.
Yeah. I think he's got 11 for them this season. But I kind of tried to point this out when we were signing new players at the beginning of the year. When you get young, a high caliber, internationals, they play international football.
Yeah.
So if they've got a ceiling that involves 3,500 minute averages, and 700 minutes of those are playing internationals,
yeah.
So you only have 2,800 to play for Liverpool, or you're sticking your finger in the socket.
Yeah.
And we kind of have that right now. So we just, I'm not trying to be scaremonger at all. I'm not worried about Szobo. I'm just saying strategically, that's something you always have to bear in mind.
Yeah. Anything else you want to note on any of the key midfielders?
Harvey. So okay. Harvey's had a big jump. He's played a lot of football recently as well. So Harvey in the last 4.5 weeks has 900 minutes of football in the last 900 minutes of football since Luton. 910. So 10 games he's played ostensibly in 4.5 weeks. It's just so that we're talking about this isn't to say that they're going to rip a hammy. It's to say perhaps there might be a little level of expecting the best performances from them, or every game might be a little optimistic.
I think the best way to think about it is that Szobo would never had a hamstring injury in his career until he got one this season. So he played. He had a really good workload at Leipzig. And then eventually, even the indestructible, seemingly indestructible, we managed to break him. And the same thing could happen with Elliot. He seems indestructible. He seems very robust. But you don't know. If you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, something can break.
But before that, Szobo got... He went from being sensational to being functional.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm more worried about with Harvey. I think he is kind of peaking, and we need our players. We need to have 11 peaking players on the pitch.
Yeah, Elliot's gone the opposite journey to Szoboszlai. He started off as extremely functional, and then he's become very productive since January. So,
yeah. So it's going to require really smart rotation.
Yeah, but you can you think that we can still line up with Endo, Mac, Szobo for Brighton, yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Salah's rested. Nunes is rested. That's great news. Jota, do we expect him back anytime soon?
There were rumours about Man United. I'm thinking more likely... Unless something else concrete comes, my prediction with Marty was Palace.
Yeah. Your friend, Premier Injuries, what's his name, Ben Dinnery, he's got Jota and Trent down as the 7th of April and Curtis down as the 31st. So he's got Jones back in the squad for Brighton. That would be nice.
Yeah, I think that's possible, but let's say Liverpool aren't giving details out to Ben Dinnery.
No, absolutely not. Andy Robbo, though, Curtis Jones could be a similar kind of timeline for Robbo, right? Based on the injury, the nature of the injury, the sprain, the high ankle sprain, possibly.
It's not a high ankle sprain. Definitely but it's still not a high ankle sprain. They're very, very different injuries. The high ankle sprain takes longer.
Oh, is it? Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough. So, and then the up front, we're looking relatively healthy. So we've got Salah and Darwin. And then Diaz will be coming back from South America. He played both games, scored a fantastic goal in one of them, si.
Yeah, he did. He scored a great goal. Set one up and he played 131 minutes. 200 and... How much did he play? I can't count. 191 minutes in his two games.
Cody's had a couple of bench appearances to the Netherlands, and he got Elliot.
Cody played first game 84.
Did he? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And he played well, got two assists, I think.
Okay. So you're looking pretty good up front, and then you've got Elliot as in the rotation, should anything happen, if you need to change things around with Salah. So yeah, it's looking reasonably just the fullbacks. Position really is the question mark. Yeah, well, how's your how's your fatigue index looking, Si?
Well,
apart from Costas,
usually they come back blue, cold from international breaks because we've often had some older players that didn't play.
Yes.
But now we've got a bunch that are what would be green. So Diaz, though he played a lot of minutes, it just actually means that he's in prime form. He's got 116 minutes a week. And his fatigue index is green. Harvey's is green because the relationship between his previous 4 weeks and this week is similar. So it's not a spike. That means he is ready to fly, basically. It's just freshness in relation to the rest of the season you have to worry about. So we've got Harvey, we've got Diaz, we've got Virgil, we've got Joe Gomez, that are all fit, firing, and
prime. Who's spiking then, other than Tsimikas?
Zobo is 1.6, and 1.3 is where the spike begins. Ibu's 1.9. Again, 1.3 is where the spike begins. It's quite a big deal. And Simi is nearly four.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's the risks, people. We need to. Bradley?
Yeah, he's primed at 1.2.
Okay. Good news.
So as the ratio goes, anything between 1 and 1.3
yes.
is primed. It means you're ticking along at the same rate you have before. The difference is when you ramp up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, those guys are primed for playing 120 minutes a week. But we currently, till the last week of the season, for each position, you're going to need about 108, 191, 193 minutes a week for each position. And none of them can do that.
No.
So that innately requires management, rotation.
Yeah.
Good subs, good use of subs coming on and off, all the stuff.
So let's talk about that schedule then. We before the international break, we talked about the 6 games in 16 days. We nearly made it. To be honest, look, when we look back at, you know, after the end of the season, that period between the Arsenal FA Cup game and the international break, There'll have to be a lot of bouquets thrown at Jürgen for the way that the results he managed to get from that period with so many injuries. It was pretty miraculous, wasn't it, Si, when you look back at it?
Yeah. There's just a lot of luck involved when you're playing this many games.
Yeah. So we only didn't win 4 matches. There were 2 defeats at United and Arsenal in the league, the United FA Cup, draw at home to City and a draw at away at Fulham in the second leg, which was effectively, you know, almost like a dead rubber at the time. But yeah, so otherwise we won every match. But what is that schedule? Is there anything as intense as 6 games in 16 days coming up?
Yeah, it's all that intense.
There's the bad news.
If you've been listening to this, you're dumb if you don't know that. I've been talking about it since September. This is what happens from
when we're in April.
Now we're in.
So what's the schedule look like then, sir?
So you have to play all your damn games with all of your best players to win all of your games all in one go.
So we've got 12 games minimum remaining, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Potentially 15.
Yeah. So instead of just looking at us for this, we're in a title race. There are 3 teams in it. If you look at the other teams that we're playing in here, I'm going to quickly. Good TV. This is good radio. We have a game every 3.07 days.
Yes.
If you take out the final week of the season where we have a gap in between, it's a game every 2.97 days. Wow. Arsenal have a game every 2.96 days, and City have a game every 2.6 days.
Wow.
So
yeah,
because City have an extra game, and this is all predicated on all of us winning the next round of Champions League, of our European games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise we get, otherwise it ramps up to 3.2, 2.9 and 3.3. if that was that's the best case scenario where it's getting knocked out.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah.
But I think we're all in a good position to go through.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think. I think the Premier League is the strongest league in Europe right now by a considerable margin.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I'm just saying I just don't think those quarterfinal ties for City and Arsenal, they're not nailed on. They are tough games. I mean, I know Bayern have been in a two-leg game, lots of shit can happen.
Lots of shit can happen. But my point is, this set aside the names they're playing against, Arsenal and Man City, the teams they have, the position of forms they're in, they should be winning those two ties.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that I think on the statistical models, they're two of the top three teams in Europe, and we are fourth or fifth on most models, right?
Yeah,
and, you know, so it's only Real Madrid are basically splitting Arsenal and City anyway.
Yeah. And that's not on this season's form. That's accrued over the last three seasons. On this season's form, they're not the best. Real Madrid aren't that good.
They've also got a massive amount of injuries.
Yeah.
So, they were playing midfielders and centre back before the international break. You know, so, all right. So the schedule is manic in terms of the compression. We don't have any. When do we have any full training days? When's our next full? How many full training days would we have between now and the last week of the season?
So our first game day plus four is West Ham away at the end of April before the Europa League semi.
Wow.
And Man City's next game day plus four is the Champions League final.
Do they have one?
they don't have one between now and the end of the season.
Wow.
And Arsenal have one against Spurs. So it's the same week as we do.
Okay.
So preceding that, they've got Chelsea.
Yeah.
There are some really tricky. I looked at the ELO for our teams, and the average rating of Arsenal's fixtures are the average ranking is 38.4. Man City's are 44.8, and ours are 46.9.
And remember, the lower the ELO, the harder.
Exactly. Yeah. And to be fair, Arsenal's are going to be inflated slightly because they're playing City, who are number one.
Yeah, and of course, but you know, if you look at the fixtures, you know, Everton is not a hard fixture for Man City or Arsenal, but it is for us. It is hard for us.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Arsenal have got to play Tottenham.
Yeah. And so and Spurs are our patsy.
Yeah. Spurs and Man City have got to play, potentially got to play Tottenham away in the very, before the very last week of the season, before the final game. Spurs have become weirdly a bit of a bogey team for
hugely, not to matter, Champions League semi final.
Yeah. Yeah. So the way I was also saying, you know, is the most important in the title running, some of the games later on don't matter if you don't make the ones up front count. So what's effectively going to be in the next 4 week block is it has to be weighted more important right now because you have to win to stay in, don't you? I'm not really looking any further ahead than after the quarterfinal second legs at the moment. That's what I'm really focused on, that next six games for all the contenders.
I get that. And my feeling is that we're going to go full strength against Brighton.
Yes.
You can't go full strength against Brighton, then Sheffield United, which is 3 days later, because those lads haven't had full recovery, knowing that we've got United straight afterwards.
Yeah. Away. United away. There's going to have to be rotation in midweek, right? Against Sheffield United at home.
Yeah. For your higher intensity positions on the pitch, you're going to need... You're going to need 60-30s and then 30-60s.
Would you ideally be planning the preferred lineup tomorrow, also aiming to start a week Sunday against United?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then managing it so whatever needs to happen against Sheffield United happens to enable the, because that's the mess we got ourselves into in the last United match, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We had to bring off big players and the team got worse and then we lost.
Yeah. Exactly. But we're not in a position to do that now. You have to play all of your players.
Yes.
And yes. We got ourselves into the position we've got ourselves in. I would suggest, even with injuries, we have a lower drop-off between rotating position players than we've had for years, if ever before. I think we've got a better pool where you can rotate Curtis or Harvey in and out without losing a function in the team.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.